Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 1006 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live Conference Preview Show. I'm your host, Christian Piles. Joined today, I got a different cast of crew. Of course, we have Ben Funky Askren joining us. From Wisconsin, which is still in the United States, almost Canada, very nearly. To my right, he's a troublemaker, a heartbreaker, and maybe on the basketball courts, a rim shaker? His name's probably not. He probably plays well below the rim, Ollie Estone.
Well said.
And of course, this man has several warrants, but they're soon to expire in the state of Tennessee. David Bray. David, how are you?
Incident free since 2020.
That's true. That's true. So we have, you know, those jokers, JD, Tyler, they're on the road, allegedly, doing coverages, so they couldn't be on the show.
On the road again.
Yes. I scheduled my flight around this show for you, the people. Ben has nowhere to be. Because
very mature of you.
Yes. This is growth. David's leaving when? When are you going to ACC's?
Getting there tomorrow.
Tomorrow? And you're not going anywhere.
I don't go anywhere anymore. I miss it.
Mainly because you can't drive anywhere because you don't have a car because you left all your worldly possessions in the Dominican Republic.
Plot twist. Car's back in action, guys.
Wow.
Car's back in action. Yeah. So it only took my mom coming to town and visiting and saying, "This is ridiculous. You're a grown man."
That's how I feel. I think I said that. I said you're grown.
Yeah, no, you said that exact thing, but you don't have the wisdom of my mom, so I didn't believe you. But we're back in action with the car and slowly getting the rest of my life put back together.
Yeah,
so Mama Stone's the tough one. She said you're being a little baby. Get your crap together.
Yes,
son.
I would exactly so. She's certainly a tough one dealing with me, my two brothers, and my dad. There were some other words I was describing with, but
cantankerous. Cantankerous.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Well said.
All right, so we're gonna get into as much conference stuff as humanly possible. We're going to get to some questions. We have seeds and basically brackets for all the conference tournaments. So we want to get into as much as possible. We'll start with the Big Ten. That's the topic of most interest, I would say. And I have to start, before we get into kind of a weight-by-weight thing, and David is going to help us drive a lot of this, Brody Teske thing at 133 pounds.
It's really bugging you real hard.
It does, because I feel like you should identify with this a little bit.
It bugs the shit out of me, Christian.
Okay. All right. You're someone that's like, it's just, it's not right, so fix it.
I hate it.
It's so easy to fix, guys. Like, okay, I get it. Iowa messed up in when they entered Brody and they did the switch of color. That's not good. I'm not saying this for Brody's or for Iowa's benefit. It's like, no, this is just as much for Nick Bouzakis's and the rest of the field's benefit. You don't have a 14 seed that should be the 5 or 6 at the 14. Like, Nick Bouzakis earned the right to wrestle the 14 seed. Now he has a Big 12 champ.
A bum. He wants a bum first round.
He wants a pin. He wants to take a single leg, body lock, boom, put him down.
Yeah.
Now he's got Brody Teske. That's going to be a really hard match.
I really don't understand it for the life of me, and maybe I'm not trying to understand it because I'm just going to get frustrated with the bureaucracy that won't change it.
That's the word, but bureaucracy.
It's like, bro, it's 6 days ahead of time. He's tech-falled multiple people that are ranked above him. He hasn't the only person he's lost to, I think, is Jacob Van D and Aaron Nagao.
He also beat Van D.
And he also beat Van D. Like, he should be significantly higher. I really, for the life of me, I thought when they came out, they were probably pre-seeds and they would be open to change once there was something more reasonable. But for some reason, they can't change them in 6 days ahead of time. It's idiotic. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's idiotic. And there is a mechanism to change the seeds. There is a seeding meeting on Friday afternoon. So they have a seeding meeting, but they can only they can only vote and change a seed if they're within a certain voting point threshold. They have to be within a certain amount of points. And Brody Teske has 0 points because he wasn't entered. So no one voted for Brody Teske. Now
that's quite ridiculous.
So they have a seating meeting, but they are going to leave Brody Teske at the 14. It doesn't make any sense.
So it could be bad for the three, but there's also someone who it's going to be bad for on the backside, right?
Yes.
Because obviously, let's say he loses to Bouzakis, he would have someone else very low seated. Okay, forget them. They're not going to qualify because the Big Ten only gets 7. But the next round, when they're in the blood round, there's someone who's probably reasonably good who should be beating the who was it? Probably the 14 or the 11. So that should beat the 14 or the 11 to make it to the top 8. So who you're really hurting is likely that person.
Yep.
So I should look that up. So it'd be the 2 versus 15. That's a bye. You'd have the 7 versus the 10. So it's the 10. The 10 is the one who gets harmed. Who's the 10?
I couldn't tell you.
Not going to look it up.
The 10 is Caden Rooks of India.
That's who it screws.
Yeah. So, and there, I think there'd be a round after that would be different at least. But
Well, the round after that also would be different because then if that person were able to beat Caden Rooks, then they would make the top 6 instead of making the top 8.
Okay.
Which would then make it obviously easier to qualify because top 6 you're in for sure.
Yeah, and obviously this is not an earth-shaking deal, but if you're going to seed it, if the regular season is going to matter, you may as well just do it right.
Yeah, and it's
seed it properly.
Especially when you have a seeding meeting, when this seems like the exact thing to bring up at a seeding meeting.
Yeah, it's not after weigh-ins or I don't know. It just doesn't. When things don't make sense, they don't make sense, and this just doesn't.
And we were talking in the office about like the potential implications if somebody other than Brody Teske would have been intentionally not entered. You want to get into that?
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Because basically what you could do if you got a hammer, you think of like a Spencer Lee back in the day or a Nolf or a Rutherford. You could say
Shiraki, Aaron Brooks.
Yeah, et cetera. A guaranteed national champion. You could say, we're entering Paul Glenn at 125. And then past the deadline, switch it to Spencer Lee. Spencer gets the 14. He gets a first round match against number 3. Smash. Gets to take out the 2 seed.
That'd be so rude. Smash.
You could do that. And here, so one, that's a obvious thing you could exploit. I don't think it would ever happen, but you could if you were a little bit of a troublemaker.
Can I ask you a question? If you can't switch the seeding points beyond the threshold, why can you even switch the athlete?
Because if you have someone that must be changed, and they use the word must. If they must change the wrestler, you're allowed to, but they have to go to the 14. But here's this. Okay, let's say what if multiple teams have to change?
Switch.
Well, then what would you do?
Oh.
You would obviously go to a vote.
And 14.
You would vote. No.
Go to a
how do you know who's 13 and 14? You don't know. You would have to determine it in some way. There would be a vote. So it's bureaucracy. It's dorks hiding behind bureaucracy instead of just making a simple choice. I think you could change this if you wanted to.
I got 2 questions.
All right.
One, not too sure what bureaucracy means, so I'm going to need a breakdown on that. 2, how do we see that Bouzakis-Teske match going?
Yeah, let's start with the match.
I think it's a very interesting match, actually, extremely. And I think it could absolutely go either way.
On the one hand,
I think the power advantage for Bouzakis and the top advantage for Bouzakis is notable. We've seen Brody struggle in two big matches from the bottom position. He got turned like crazy against Frost, turned by Van D. Bouzakis is...
You really feel like Bouzakis is that good on top?
He's pretty freaking good. But what I was going to say, point two, he's not like tilty. Okay. He's like power, locks up a cradle, bars, like more of a bruising top. I think he's pretty freaking good. He certainly pins a lot of people. But then again, you know, Brody Teske, 7 minutes coming after you. He's got a really good tank as well. So, you know, I think it's a match in the margins. I would probably say 70-30 favor Bouzakis. But
if you could put a spread on it?
2.5 for Bouzakis. But yeah, I think Bouzakis scores a lot of points. He could blow it out easily too.
Yeah, Bouzakis can score a lot of points. Yes. But then, you know, he has been shut down. Like, say, I think about the Julian Farber match, for example, where he got totally shut down. yeah, I guess I'd probably favor Bouzakis, but I could for sure see Teske winning.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Okay. Hmm. All right, so that's the 14. That's a debacle. Hopefully it gets...
Debacle.
Hopefully it gets fixed. I don't think that the...
I wouldn't hold your breath.
I wouldn't hold your breath, but I also don't think that the coaches are going down without a fight here. I think there is...
The coaches, meaning Iowa and Ohio State, would obviously...
I think more Ohio State than Iowa, if I had to guess. I think Tom Brand seems sort of resigned to, he's the 14, away we go.
That's kind of his thing, though, so yeah. he can't act any other way.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it bugs him more than we know. It's a weird thing, though. All right. How do we want to do this? Well, talking through Big Ten.
I say we just go to the Big Ten because that's the one people are the most interested in. So we do that.
Probably just start at the bottom. No.
Yeah. Start with those little guys. 125. Really fun weight class. Bray, why don't you kind of give the rundown of the seeds?
Yeah. So 125. Top eight seeds. You got Ramos, Ayala. Those are your top two, despite all the chaos. Barnett, McKee, Smith, Davis, DeAugustino, Macron. That's your top eight.
So
Dean Peterson at 9, notable.
That is notable.
Yep.
I noted exactly that when I was talking about this weight earlier, that, man, that's, for all the weird things we've seen at 125, Dean Peterson beating Matt Ramos wouldn't even register on the Richter scale, probably.
For austerity, we have 9 qualifiers, which when you look at this weight class, looks like it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Austerity. We're getting a lot of austerity. Words. Ollie's just going to Google the
I can't
words
even
we
keep
say.
Up. I can't even keep up. I'm trying to look at the seeds, Googling bureaucracy.
All right, so, I mean, bureaucracy, it's a great word. You should know it. Barnett versus Brade Davis is interesting because we have not seen that one. I don't really know what to make of it. I kind of think it'll be a close one where Brade Davis doesn't take too many chances, which, you know, he's not a huge risk taker. Anyways, and Barnett is usually willing to wrestle close matches because he thinks he can win in the top bottom position. So that's kind of how I'm feeling about that one.
Yeah, I think it's one where Brady can just could control it for 7 minutes and just be positionally really good and get one takedown. But man, I think Barnett's really tough on top. He's really good in the scrambles, and so I think Braden's gonna have a harder time finishing on him. I actually think Barnett's probably I think I like Barnett in this matchup this time.
Yeah.
I think Braden could benefit from another crack at Eric.
It seems like the first time you feel Eric Barnett is probably the worst.
Yeah.
Unusual feel.
Very tricky.
He's super tricky. It's interesting, the 4-5 is Smith versus McKee, which if you remember this match, McKee destroyed him.
Killed him.
It was like, what is happening? And that's what had Ben declared Pat McKee all the way back, and he was.
Yep, I remember.
I was
that.
Like, wow.
And then he let us down. He I let know. Us down. I thought Pat McKee was all the way healed. Let's run this thing. And then he did pin Barnett after that, but he also lost to. He's so wild. He did pin Barnett, but he lost to Peterson and Ramos, which those. I mean, they're both tough dudes, I guess.
Yeah. So
didn't get his butt kicked.
It seems like McKee will beat Smith. I mean, you would think. And then
Ramos has already beaten McKee, so it does feel like a decent path for Matt to make the final.
So Ramos has won takedown matches over both Dean Peterson and Pat McKee. 4-1 over both of them.
And Ayala.
And Ayala. So it's not like he's blown these dudes out.
No.
So they're going to be close, tough matches. I'm leaning Matt Ramos, but I don't think any of them are sure things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would expect Ramos to come out of that top side. The bottom side's really interesting, though, because we already mentioned Barnett, Braden Davis, but then the other quarter down there, you got D'Agostino and Drake Ayala. D'Agostino from the 7, and he beat Ayala in that crazy one.
Yes. So,
man, who knows? That bottom side, I don't know.
That is so wild that he's a 7 and he beat the 2.
Yeah, I sent a tweet that like Iowa had really tough draws, and this is just kind of an example. Like they're seeded appropriately, but just like the matchups are like this is a prime example. Like this, your second round match is a 2 seed. You wouldn't think it'd be someone that beat you literally this mm-hmm. year, and it is yeah. just because that's the.
So you're thinking. I'm assuming you're thinking D'Agostino AL looks relatively similar to what it did.
Yes,
and it just can D'Agostino stay clean through all those really clingy scrambles in overtime. I don't know. I don't know if the answer to that's yes or if I feel like Drake's going to get one. I feel like Drake's going to get one.
You'd think, but.
You think.
But the one thing that gives me pause with any Drake prognostication is his reluctance to attack, seemingly.
Yeah.
He won't fire as much as I feel like he used to. And I think that's got to be a signature component of a deep Drake Ayala run should be consistent offense and attacks. And without that, if you want to play up, you want to do a chess match against Michael D'Agostino? One exchange bout where you're just banking on one attack, like you can get away with that with Troy Spratley, but D'Agostino's like made to win those matches. That's like exactly.
Well, yeah. I feel like you're going too strong here.
So I feel like
is that D'Agostino's best chance to win? And I think the answer to that is yes, mm-hmm. but. I feel like you're making it feel like if Ayala does that, then D'Agostino is going to win. And I feel like it's a coin flip. After watching their last match, I feel like it could go either way. I'm going to lean a little bit towards Ayala since D'Agostino got the last one, but it's close to the middle.
Well, I don't disagree with anything you said either. I think.
Okay. So you think it's close to the middle? Close to a coin flip.
100% it's close to a coin flip. Even if he does play it close, but it's not the most pragmatic approach, in my opinion. It's like, go after him. You beat this guy as a true freshman.
Yeah.
You
know what my argument's previously been about Iowa, and we don't need to revisit that.
No, moving on.
The thing I will say, what the technical argument I make is this, and this would speak to Drake Allen's reluctance to attack. If you can't figure out the finer points of scoring and scrambles when you attack them, and the better guys are able to exploit you when you have a non-optimal attack, you're going to be reluctant to attack, and you're not going to attack all that much. You're only going to attack when you think it's the perfect time, because you know if it gets nasty and it gets gritty that you don't know the right way to finish.
That was Ollie's
problem. That's my technical – what?
That was Ollie's problem.
Ollie probably didn't even get to the legs. No offense, Holly.
No. It's a pretty good guess there. Didn't get there often.
Lucky guess. I
would say probably got there at a higher rate than your normal high school heavyweight, but definitely not at a higher rate by any means.
It's okay. All right. Yeah.
So, honestly, I feel like that's my prognostication of the technical side coming true with Drake Ayala.
All right.
Moving on. Listen, I see you on Twitter getting flamed for being an Iowa homer. And yeah. I got to say, I kind of agree with the trolls.
Really?
Uh-oh.
Wasn't I just being critical of Drake Ayala for not attacking?
Yeah, but you love Iowa down deep in your heart. It's okay. Like, they're lovable. I get it.
Yeah, I don't think it's that. But hey, speaking of Iowa.
What?
Spencer and Austin. Next week.
Oh yeah.
WrestleTown.
So I got a question. Is that about their current status, or is this about like them in college?
Them in college. Kind of their relationship.
Love it.
Yep. It's going to be good.
Maybe we do an episode two about them currently, though.
Call it Lords of WrestleTown.
I like it.
Yeah. See how it sticks.
There you go.
All right. What? How do we want
to? All right, so wait, final pick. I think we have to at least do picks, right?
Yeah. I'm going to be lame. I got Matt Ramos winning this.
Well, I will also be lame, and I'll say the same thing.
Yeah.
That kind of takes me to the question I was going to ask, but decided not to, but now I'm going to. And do we predict this 125 craziness to continue throughout the postseason, or it seems like not really? You guys are picking one seed.
No, it's one of those. For me,
yeah, I think so.
I think we'll see more. I think we'll see chaos at this weight, but it's like the whole point is you can't predict it, so he's kind of fall back on.
Well, isn't the whole point also, Christian, that? Well, it may be craziness by number and by seed. The fact of the matter is there are a lot of guys who are very evenly skilled. Therefore, a lot of them can beat each other. So while we've said it's chaos, and it kind of is, the fact is there's just 20 or so guys who are like evenly skilled, and none of them is going to beat each other 10 out of 10.
Yeah. True dat.
Okay.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Ramos and 133.
Okay, 133. Top eight seeds. You got Ragusan, Chaver, Bouzakis, Van D, Nagao, Madrigal, Braxton Brown, Tyler Wells. And then don't forget, you have Teske all the way down to the 14.
Don't forget about that 14.
That's a deep sleeper, 14 seed. I got Nagao winning this.
Okay.
Running through.
Really?
Through Van D, through Ragusan. Through Bouzakis, Chaver, Teske, one of them. He's going to have to go on a little bit of a revenge tour. But, I don't know, every now and again you throw kind of a wild card out there. I don't think it's that wild. I think coming into this year, he was the consensus Big Ten champion pick preseason. Yep. He lost super narrowly to Ragusan in a fantastic match. You should rewatch if you can.
Overtime.
He got beat bad by Bouzakis. No two ways about it.
Yep.
But you know,
also got beat by Chaver.
He also got beat by Chaver.
They're also on the opposite side of the bracket.
Yeah, he only has to beat one of them in the final.
Well, Ragusan's on the same side.
Ragusan's so. Same side.
Yep. Yeah.
That's my pick. I'm going Nagao.
Does that have anything to do with the fact that Nagao is your representative on your fantasy team?
Those two are unrelated.
Are we still doing that?
Well, oh yeah.
I haven't looked at it one time since the picks.
You barely looked at it when you did it. Your team was dreadful.
I actually retired like four rounds early. I'm like, I gotta go.
Yeah. He doesn't like tough fantasy wrestling.
Wait, so am I in first place or not?
You're tied for first.
Ah, let's go.
I'm joking.
That's not true, Ben. You just made that up.
I don't even want to say the names because I'm sure they're great kids, but I'm not going to say the names of some of the people on your team and their contributions.
I got Mitchell Mesmerick seventh round, made you guys look like idiots.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad. But then if we go and look at the six picks before and how many after, I don't think.
Well, here's the thing.
How do I look it up? Dang it all.
Type like 23-24.
23-24.
It should pop up the little sheet there. No, it's not called FRL.
I'm searching it, and it's not coming up on my...
That fantasy draft wasn't an episode of the podcast,
bro. Damn. I know. I'm gonna find it. You guys keep talking. I am not going to pick Aaron Nagao. I'm going to go with Dylan Ragusan. He's been really good this year. He just lost to someone, which gives me pause, but I'm going to say...
He got Van Deed, didn't he?
Was that it? I think he got Van Deed.
Van
Deed's kind of surprisingly tough.
I know.
Like, no one was picking him for anything this year, and then he just...
Erie PA, baby. Stand up.
Mm-hmm.
It's about time they got a good wrestler representing that high
school. That's a pretty fire program. You got Carter, Van Deed.
Pinero.
Sheesh.
Ian Malaszewski, monster.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, you guys are bums. My lineup's pretty good. I got Parker first, Matt Ramos second round. Those are two number ones right now. What's up now?
It takes a village, bro. What
are you talking about? I like naming the first two picks, though.
Nelson Brands.
Nice.
He needed to get some eligibility back. They screwed him. We saw that. Yeah. Cody Chidham, he's underperformed my expectations.
No, dude, you should feel good about. I don't know when you.
Yeah, I don't like that he has Chidham.
You might have taken Chidham a little too.
Chidham
early,
was deep. It was 10th round or 9th.
Oh, that's a great pick. You should feel good about that.
Okay,
that's one. I would compliment you for that one. That just shows how little fantasy knowledge you actually have, man.
I picked my 157 pounder way earlier, and his beat mine so
badly. Badly.
Yes.
Okay. Wait, what's happening?
I never entered. We had to enter lineups. I never entered a lineup.
There's no. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's,
we're figuring it out.
There's no lineup. Okay.
It probably is technically a 10-way tie for first place at this point because we don't know how we're scoring it.
Yeah, we don't know how we're scoring it.
I actually don't know how we're scoring it. Yeah, tell me.
It's fine. We don't know. When I said I don't know, I don't.
All right, so you got Nagao.
First place.
Yeah, I got Nagao.
Ben's got Ragusan. Nagao's gonna have to. I mean, that's a semifinal if it happens. So,
yep. Can you give us what the path, if we go by seeds, would be for Nagao?
100%. So Nagao will have to go through. Let's see. Early, he'd have Andrew Hampton.
Easy.
Yep, from Michigan State. Then quarterfinals, Vandy. Semifinal would be Ragusan, and then final, whoever's coming out that opposite side.
It's not like a good path, but
there's probably not really a good path in that bracket.
Right? You know what? Here's the thing, Oliver. you're like, oh, did I? Because he's on my fantasy. No, he's on my fantasy team because I think he's really good.
It could be a chicken or the egg situation.
No,
but this could also be one of those things where Christian, he doesn't like changing his mind on things, and so
I change my mind all the time. Change my mind all the time. See, you make fun of me. Okay, you want it both ways because you dog me because I switched from Camacho to Ramos at 125. You call me a flip.
I didn't dog you for that.
Are you getting on me? Oh, that was or was that?
I did not dog you for switching from Camacho to Ramos. That was someone else.
Yeah, that was Tyler. I have a lot of nemesis.
You're building a lot of enemies, CP. It's not smart.
Well,
at one point they'll band together.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's assassinate.
They'll have to.
Yeah, Ben, that's a little far. I wasn't thinking that point.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? It's been tried. It's been tried.
Yeah.
Okay.
I cut CP's brakes.
Yeah.
What else on 33?
What else? He doesn't realize I don't brake.
Vandy Nagao quarters should be a really good. I mean, that's an exciting quarterfinal match.
Who emerges from the bottom half? Dude, bottom half is nuts.
No way Nagao gets that easy.
Bottom half, Shaw
Wells versus
two.
Rivera.
Oh, go ahead.
Did you guys watch the Wells versus Rivera duel meet? It was the most ridiculous thing ever.
It was ridiculous.
It was so preposterous.
What were they doing?
So it's what are they doing? That's what I thought. What are they doing? So I got to tell you guys about this. So it's overtime. Overtime is called sudden victory overtime, meaning if you score a point, it is over.
Uh-huh.
So Wells gets a takedown. The ref says 3 points. Meanwhile, it's really quick. Rivera reverses him and puts him on his back. Well, the ref gave a takedown. But no, the ref gets down there and starts looking and starts counting some back points. And then eventually he calls a pin.
Yeah.
And then he says, wait, hold on. And he goes back and they talk. And then he determines, well, if I gave a takedown, I can't give a reversal and a near fall and a pin. So then they say, no, I actually did not do that stuff. Tyler Wells is the winner.
So really, that ref just wanted to give us a little bonus wrestling because the right guy won.
The right guy did win, but like, why did he not stick to his guns in the first place?
He did. He ultimately reverted back to his guns.
Yeah.
He had guns. He called the fall.
He put his guns down for a moment. He put his guns down. He put them in a safe.
Mm-hmm.
Gun safety. But then at the end of it, he's like, where's my gun? And he got his gun back.
Oh,
and
my
then
God.
Tyler Wells won.
He knows ball don't lie. So
ball don't lie.
He knew it was going to happen. He gave us some more wrestling, and then ball don't lie.
Has Ben ever heard that phrase in his life?
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
You want to explain it to him?
No. Okay. I mean, it's not like a bad thing. I just don't feel like explaining basketball.
All right, let's keep going.
Is it like basketball? We're talking about basketball?
Kind of.
Yeah. Yes. Basically, if there's like a bad call or whatever, and then that guy, they come down and they miss it, they said ball don't lie. As in there's karma.
Mm-hmm. The karma. Basketball gods took care of it.
Yeah, they took care of it.
Okay, well, that was an interesting wrestling match. So
I agree. Nicola Rivera he's a little bit of a scary guy to see in his brackets. He does some crazy stuff.
I'm not sure how scary he is.
I mean, yeah, well, I know what. Listen, he does some tricky stuff.
That test match.
That's what I was just – I was literally going to say that. Teske treated him like a small child.
Yeah. That's kind of – but even going back to high school, like, you're like, oh, okay, this guy's getting beat. And then he'll just roll up and kill somebody he's not supposed to. Like, so I don't know.
Well, he does a lot of the reach back stuff and catches people on the, you know, for like 2 and 3, you know, 5 points or 7 points in college.
He's got a little Rogatsky in him, just a little.
Yes, 100%.
All right, 41.
For sure.
41. This weight, wow. Jeez.
Uh-oh.
Bo Bartlett. Bo Bartlett, Jesse Mendez, Real Woods, Brock Hardy, Sergio Limley, Danny Pussino, Mitch Moore, Jordan Hamdan, and then guess what? We got 2 9 seeds, so that's pretty cool.
They're going to vote on that one.
What is that?
They're going to sort out the 2 9 seeds.
I mean, triples is Friday. Safest if we're going to.
Triples are better. Triples in the Nova. But they're going to sort out the double 9 seed, but they can't get Teske out of the 14.
Yeah, they got one of Ben's fantasy team members, Grayson Clark, down at the 12. So this is a deep,
let's go,
deep
Grayson
weight.
Clark.
One of your fantasy teams.
He's getting in.
Yeah.
So
he's only going to have to win. Let's see. He's got Lemley. That's a tough match. If he loses to Lemley, he's got McLean. He's winning that one easy. 13. Then who is he have to be? He has to beat the 15 or the 10. Von Bauer.
Ooh.
Fangaro. He's going to get Fangaro. No problem.
What? Those guys. All right.
Fangaro's tough.
You got really good bracket math in your head going. That was pretty impressive.
But. Yeah.
But also, you don't know which.
It's like a beautiful mind.
Yeah.
You don't know which 9 seed Fangaro is. He might be the 9. He might be the 10.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's who's ever actually the 10. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, so
I don't know.
Fangaro's pretty good.
Yeah, you can watch those fantasy points stack up the way Ben's counting that bracket.
Yeah, that's an easy win. Limley, smash. Who's next?
So the quarterfinals at this weight, Bartlett is looking at Hamdan or one of the 9 seeds. Either way, Bartlett, big favorite in the quarter. The other topside quarter is Brock Hardy, Sergio Limley. I'd love to run that one back.
Absolutely. That was a fan. I think we're going to get a couple great matches. Limley, Hardy was a great dual match, and then I think Hardy gets that probably. And then we have another awesome rematch of Hardy versus Bartlett in that semi.
Yep.
Who benefits more from that first match, Hardy or Limley?
That's a great question. Typically you would probably say, oh, the younger guy, but I don't know that. I feel like Hardy.
Well, the younger guy, and Hardy is really tricky, but. Man, he's a hard guy to make adjustments for, and you've seen other guys like a Bartlett who's wrestled him multiple times and still wasn't able to make great adjustments. You know, I mean, well, Hardy was right in there.
He didn't beat him last year, and he beat him this year. Bartlett,
hey, he beat him.
All right, well, if you want to talk about that takedown, that would have like tied the match.
No, he would have been up by one, I believe.
Well, then he would have had to ride him out.
Ride out, done deal.
Yeah,
we don't even Christian, need to wrestle the matches.
Christian, of this bracket,
and Ben's calling him.
Who do you love the most, Mendez, Woods, or Bartlett? Tell us the truth.
I got Bartlett over.
No, not who do you have winning. Who do you love the most?
Hey, you know which child?
Who's your favorite?
Which child? You know who I got. Who have I been riding with through
Bartlett
through all the hate and all the naysaying?
And all
it was just
not qualifying
me,
for NCAAs.
But you really love Mendez
it
and
just
Woods
me
also.
And Bo, arm in arm, coming through a wall of the haters. And look, we came out on the other side of it. The one seed at Big Tens, number one in America, consensus number one. Just where we thought we were going to be. We'll see them all at the finish line. Oh.
Ben, you are right, because CP does love all three of those guys, but there's nothing like your first love.
That's right. KD. Jesse, I didn't know Real was one of my guys. That's sort of news. I just pick him to win most matches because
he's good.
That's how it's typically worked. I think it's because I picked him to beat Bo maybe in the Iowa duel, or maybe I picked him to cover or something. I forget what it was. But Jesse, let's talk about Mendez versus Woods.
Yes.
I want Ben's thoughts on that. This match, we didn't get it in the duel season. I want to know what you think about it.
Let's see. They're both athletic and strong. I don't think Real will be able to overpower him from either top or on the feet, you know, because sometimes he's just too powerful and athletic and he goes and gets an early takedown and he's on top and he smashes dudes. I don't think that's the case. So I would imagine this is like a 1-1 in the third period and one of them gets a takedown and wins. I'll go with Jesse Mendez.
Yeah, I do not have a good read on this match at all. I picked Real, but I don't have a good feeling at all. I just feel like Mendez a few times this year, because I agree with you totally, Ben, that I think it's going to be that kind of match. And I think that kind of match favors Real more than Jesse. I've seen Jesse lose that match a few times. I've seen him win some really crazy ones, too. You think about what he did at NCAAs. He was winning all these little I don't know.
Yeah, he went on a crazy run at NCAAs last year.
That was some beast mode stuff.
So this year he's lost to Bartlett and he's lost to Cole Matthews, and that's it. He's been really good besides that.
He was really good in those matches too. He had Cole Matthews dead to rights. Kind of inexplicable there. And then that was an overtime loss to Bo, where he's on the shot to win the match and he gets neutral.
He should not shoot a high crotch against Bo Bartlett if they wrestle again. P.S.
Okay. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to see him tomorrow probably.
No. You guys gonna maybe get double leg? Maybe. No. That's the thing. That's where you got to – if you, I feel like that is his best shot by a bunch, but you need to have different weapons because I don't know if that weapon's going to work against Bo Bartlett.
Yeah, and will it work on Real Woods? Real's a really tough guy to take down too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm looking through the guys that Real Woods has wrestled the last couple years and trying to find the closest comp to Jesse Mendez, and I'm not exactly sure who it is. Is it maybe like Swiderski? Is it somebody like that? Woods has done all right against those types of guys, close matches. Guys with good offense.
Yeah. I like Real in this matchup. I think it's Bo versus Real again. And I got Bo.
All right. Man.
Ben, who'd you pick in the final?
I haven't picked. I want to go against Christian. But
Did you see that chuckle?
I mean, honestly, I think, what? Let's get nuts. Let's go. Brock Hardy makes the final against Jesse Mendez.
This is, I mean, it's not crazy, obviously.
It's not crazy. I think honestly, in those four matches there, I kind of think most of them are coin flip-ish matches. I don't think there's a significant favorite. And that's, you mix those four up any way you want. What you could do through semifinal winners and whatnot. It probably is stupid of me to pick Brock Hardy in this case, because I think he has the toughest quarterfinal, and there's non-negligible chance that he loses to Sergio Lemley. But I'll go Brock Hardy over Jesse Mendez in the final.
I'm not mad at that pick, honestly. I don't think it's crazy. I think a lot of Brock Hardy, and you can be wrong. I mean, it's just funny because you're just literally going out of your way to disagree with me and to double down. This is you doubling down on your Bo hatred.
I just don't want to be lame. No, listen. I don't hate Bo Bartlett. I don't find him to be an exciting wrestler. He does sometimes have one takedown matches against guys.
You wouldn't get it
just for no particular reason. So listen, I don't enjoy that part, and I would tell him that if he asked me. But I'm sure Bo Bartlett is a fine human being, a nice gentleman. And if I were coaching him or something, I'm sure we'd get along well. I tell him freaking attack more. You're pissing me off.
What would Shane Sparks say about Bo Bartlett?
Future son-in-law.
Yes, he was going to. I was going to say he's going to promise one of his daughters to him.
He's like, Bo, wait. No. All right.
I have a question.
Okay.
Did you guys set up any official conference weekend picks, or are you conceding and giving Ben,
it's ridiculous.
Championship.
It's ridiculous.
I already won the regular season title, Ollie.
Well, if I remember correctly, when that was announced, he was like, "No, not over. We're going to pick through conferences." And now I didn't see any.
Well, JD does it, and he fled the scene.
Oh,
in cowardice. Maybe we run it at an NCAA one. I like picking all eight. Doing. I used to always do that. I fill out the. He only
I
fills
we
out.
Did
the,
that last year, didn't we?
Yeah, but I don't.
No, we did that. We definitely did that.
All right, let's do it. Again.
You got mad at me because here's what you have. You want to fill out the entire bracket, and I skip like the first two rounds of wrestlebacks because I'm like, meh. If there's someone who I picked to lose for a show and I think's gonna make a run, I'll just skip them through those couple rounds. Mm-hmm. But yes, I skip like it's the round of 24 and then to 16. So then I start on the round of 16.
Okay. It's one way to do it. I'm pretty sure I won.
But I did the top eight.
I think I did better last year.
I'm just being efficient.
Yeah.
Did you do better last year? I don't know.
I'm going to say it.
I think it did
That's
better.
That's definitely not true.
I think I probably did.
I think it did better.
I have great judgment.
No way to know for sure.
Yeah. All right.
149. 49. All right. Top eight seeds. Ridge Lovett, Austin Gomez, Caleb Rocci, Tyler Kasek, Dylan D'Amelio, Ethan Miller, Joe Zargo, Graham Rooks.
Ridge over Gomez.
Oh, I got some damning evidence right now. Josh Skernick, how do I send you a message right now?
He can't. Josh has stepped away.
Yeah. He's with JD.
Stop it. I'm going to send him a message. I'm going to put it in the doc, and I'm going to need you to bring this up on the screen. I'll put it in the top of the doc.
Josh, this is
Christian
propaganda.
Can't stop us now because he doesn't even have a computer. Josh, bring that up. Bring that up right now.
I love the idea that just keep back deleting the link that he sends.
Oh, yeah.
Josh, bring it up. Tell me when you brought it up. I'm watching right now.
Hey, talk about 149 while we wait.
Yeah.
Okay, 149, and then we're going to wait for this. And
all right. What do you guys think about this Kasek D'Amelio quarterfinal?
Kasek smashed him last time. I don't think a lot of it.
Got it.
Okay. So don't think much. And then, all right, who's Gomez got? Gomez would have Zargo. Rocci would have Ethan Miller. Let's talk about that one.
That's a tough matchup for Rocci. I think if you're looking for a 149 upset, I think Miller's definitely the type of guy that could get problems. Really good athlete, consistent offense. Got to hold up 7 minutes. If he does that, I think he could win it.
It'd be tough to do sometimes,
yeah.
At least for me.
Ben, are you going to talk about 149 or we just have to watch you
no,
send
I'm
email?
Focused on bringing up. Listen, I think Josh is going to come through for me, and I have some damning evidence.
Yeah,
you just pause me, Christian.
I'm trying. I can't only do so much on my phone.
I have some damning evidence whenever Josh is able to bring it up. Yeah, Austin Gomez looked good last weekend against Nick Lee, but man,
kind of.
Ridge Lovett.
He looked good.
Ridge Lovett beat him really bad.
Hey, Austin's giving up choice if he yelps out in this match, though.
Yes. Austin should not choose. Oh, bring it up. Let's go.
What is this?
Uh-oh.
I searched our computer, and I found some damning evidence. 2023 NCFL. All of yours are empty. CP, you didn't even make picks. You forfeited. You quit. You gave up.
That didn't happen.
That did. Look at that. Look at this.
That's one doc. Quit. I don't know what this is.
I think Ben deleted them all. And then
delete them all. I did not. We can scroll through all the weights. My man, Christian, he just gave up. He said, I am not good enough at this.
No.
I forfeit.
That is a damning spreadsheet screenshot there.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not me.
I should have picked a weight where I made better picks, though.
Yeah. Big whiff.
Big whiff. I picked Yanni over Sasso.
I had Glory over Ramos on mine. It's just you deleted it.
Oh, ooh, I think one. Oh, hold on, wait. Oh, I got the 65. You actually started making picks at 65, Christian.
Something happened. I listen.
There's no picks.
Why would I do 65 on? That would be pointless.
I have no idea.
I certainly did.
Oh, I killed you on this one, though.
It was too soon to tell on the other weights.
Yeah. I need a little more information.
You picked David Carr. I can't believe you.
Well, he only beat him twice before.
Well, I can't believe you guys.
Well, you...
Shiraki Lewis. All right, so I definitely won the picks contest here because you forfeited.
I'm going to go back and listen to the first show after NCAA and figure out what happened because that's the only way. All right, we got to move on, Ben.
I love living in the past. All right, I'm sorry. Okay, let's go. I got Ridge Lovett over Austin Gomez.
Okay, cool.
57.
This is a crazy deep weight class. I don't find it as interesting as like 41 because I think Levi is just far and away.
It's very deep.
It's deep though. By the 8-9 is like Blaze and
Chumbly.
Can you explain to me how Saldate got the 6, please?
It's wrong. They messed it up. Big mistake. Okay. They blew it. I tweeted about this. Brayton Lee, who I love, and I'm very glad he's having a healthy season.
You actually like him a lot.
Yeah, we like him a lot. Big fan. But listen, Michigan State and Indiana wrestled, and he wasn't there. He wrestled an intelligent, limited schedule. I like that. I'm glad Brayton did that. But you can't have it both ways. Where correct. Chase Saldate wrestled every Big Ten match. Luan didn't wrestle against him. Brayton Lee didn't wrestle against him, and he was 7-1. Only losses to Levi. And so I think for Brayton, okay, you put him, he should go ahead of his best win, which is Luan. He beat Luan. He beat Blaze. So make him like the six or whatever. But Saldate, he did his thing. It's like, why do they, it benefits what the message it sends. And it's the coach's vote. I don't even know how much attention they actually pay to this. But, you know, the message it sends is like, you can just sit out a match and it's going to help you actually.
You think it's one of those things that they're doing that on purpose?
So no.
They don't get dinged in the future? No, that's a little too much extra thought.
I don't think they think that much about it at all is probably what's happening. Because it just doesn't make sense. There's no conspiracy to do this one time at one weight. They didn't do this at most weights.
Yeah, you're right.
Most of the weights they got it right. But this one is they randomly, I don't know what happened. So yeah, Chase Saldate, I don't know.
I guess at least it's the 3 versus 6, so we'll see that match, so we could essentially like take that spot. So it's not super harmful to him where he ended up, and then he's already beaten the 11 kind of easy, so that's not like a threatening match.
Yeah.
It's
just when things are wrong, it stands out.
Yeah. So it does set up a quarterfinal there between Lee and Saldate. Other quarterfinals, we got Frantic Rob, which, you know, interesting. We've seen it. Mm-hmm. That was a crazy match last time.
Yes.
We also got the 2-7 is Blockus Luan, and then Levi Haynes is going to have either Blaze or Chumbly.
Yeah.
Blaze has had some good wins this year. Am I wrong on this one? Yeah,
that's a lot of 57 pounds.
He pinned Peyton Rob.
Yeah.
He pinned Peyton Rob. That's a good one. I mean, really he one. Only lost 2-1 to Jared Franek.
Blaze is really good.
He did get kind of – yeah, Blaze is tough. He got whooped by Cardenas a little bit, 8-1. Yeah, he's probably not going to give
– this weight class is so deep nationally and in this conference. I think Levi, you know, runs through these – guys, Rob Franek, remind me, this is at Nebraska. Late win for, Peyton Rob just kind of fell off at the end there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But he had one early takedown, I think, and then kind of rode him for a while and then got really tired and got taken down at the end and ridden out for the loss.
Yes. I think, and that was the second week in a row or the first time he had really bad third periods. He's not really rounded back into early season form.
Really?
Yeah, he lost his last match.
So he lost 4 in a row. He lost Ryder Downey, Jared Franek, Michael Blockus, Joey Blaze, and then they gave him a few weeks off, and he came back and he beat Illinois and Michigan, and that Luan was maybe kind of questionable, and then he kind of got drilled by Levi Haynes.
Yeah. So I don't know. I can't say he's back. I mean, this is a guy who a year ago gave Levi a crazy tough match. I mean, that was like very contentious how that played out in the Big Ten final. And now it's like,
dang. But man, Levi drilled. He drilled everybody. Jared Franek even worse. But even worse.
Worse
than he beat Peyton Rob.
That was insane. Yeah, I know.
Peyton Rob was. He was not just good last year. This is a guy that pretty much ran through CKLV.
Yes.
This season. So which version do we get, I think, is probably one of the bigger questions in this
still
bracket.
Still going to be close with Franek. Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to.
This is a – man, because then Franek lost to Luan and Blockus. So, that's a tough – I'm going to go Rob gets it back over Franek.
I don't know.
And then there's no way I'm picking him over Haynes.
I'll go Franek. Franek over Rob.
I'm going Saldate over Brayton Lee and Michael Blockus.
Dang.
Even though Blockus has been really good this year, Saldate has been good too. And then Haynes smash in the finals.
This is another bottom half where I really could see four different guys making the finals. If Will Luan's a 7, he could beat Michael Blockus. He probably has. He could beat Brayton Lee. He could beat Chase Saldate.
But the other thing is he's going to go to overtime with Isaac Wilcox first round. That's for sure. Like book that one.
Yeah, booked it. It's
already
booked.
They already went to overtime. I wasn't looked. I was right. They already went to overtime.
Listen, that's not exactly a major feather in your cap. Of all the smart things you've said, Ben, that's not rating.
Okay, but they are going to go to overtime again.
Yeah, they are.
That is true.
They have to.
Yeah.
Yes. He wants – it's already agreed upon.
There's no other option.
Yeah, yes. So I'll say that happens. And then – but, yeah, Will could make the final just as well. I'll take Levi over Saldate would really have to go. He has to beat Brayton and Blockus or Luan. I'll say Will Luan runs the gauntlet, makes it to the final.
Oh, wow.
Let's go. Tiebreaker two all the way through. I don't even remember what I said on the video, but I just changed my mind.
Do you really feel that way?
I feel nothing.
I mean, like, is there a chance that happens? 100%.
Guy's a winner.
Totally out of pocket.
He's a winner.
Oh, God, stop.
He's on the right side of the bracket.
Long enough. Where the hell is Shane at?
I don't know. He's probably. At 1:45 a.m., he was awake and tweeting about how he just can't sleep because he's thinking about
Big Ten. He was? Really? Yes,
he tweeted that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
He was at the Wisconsin State tournament. I saw him live and in person. Came and hung out for a minute.
Live and in person?
I like seeing Shane in person because it's exactly what you think it would be like. It does not let you down.
Yep. Yep, 100%. All right, so I got Levi over Will Lewan.
It's a hell of a pick.
Hey, wow. I'm getting one of those right.
165. Yeah.
165.
I got Mitchell Messerbrink over Dean Hamidi in the finals. I know, big shocker.
Big shocker. I agree. Caliendo.
Caliendo was coming on strong, and he did wrestle Mitchell and Hamidi pretty tough, but I don't think he has what it takes to beat Mitchell. But he did look pretty good in both those matches.
The Hamidi, I mean, I said this in a video, but like the Hamidi Messerbrink match is so, to me, it's like the match I want to see. It's like zero chance that's a boring match. There's just no scenario. It's not
zero
exciting.
Yeah, there's no chance.
So what do you think are Mitchell's advantages in that matchup, and where maybe potential vulnerabilities?
Yeah, I think I've said this for 3 years now. Dean struggles against people who move really well, and Mitchell moves really well. And I think Dean's chance of winning is he does kind of get tricky a little bit on some when some people attack him. And Mitchell has gotten careless a few times, I think, to the first tournament he had. So he just needs to stay on point on his finishes, and I think he wins.
What are the chances they both get takedowns in this match? I think it's very high.
Oh, almost 100%, okay. I would say. Yeah, very high.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's going to be a great one. You know, while we're doing conference, we're doing Big Tens, but let's just bounce around and think about how if Mitchell runs the table here, what sort of seeding scenarios are we looking at? Because I think it could get really interesting with Big 12, what happens to David Carr, and Keegan, and honestly Julian Ramirez at UW. I think we're looking at a really weird seeding scenario.
Yes,
it's total chaos if Carr wins, then I don't know what we have. If he ends up beating Keegan, yes. if Keegan wins
and Mitchell wins, that's the easiest possible, because then they're 1-2 because they're both undefeated, and Ramirez is probably 3 because he only has one loss. And then you probably go Carr, Hamidi, Oleznik is probably where you go.
So then it's a Keegan Carr semi in that scenario.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a reality,
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I love it. 65 rules. What are you going to do if those two are wrestling in the finals?
I'm just going to sit and watch. I told you that.
Will you cry? It's okay. I won't tell.
Tell us right now. Who are you pulling for?
That has to be emotional.
I think it'll be it'll be interesting. I mean, it'll be happy and sad, of course.
Oh, it'll be interesting.
One person will win and one person will lose.
Wow.
Who are you going to be cheering for?
barbecue for lunch. That's what I'm cheering for.
Oh, you're going to be there too.
I'm going to be there.
Oh my gosh. That's right. We're doing FRL 3 days.
Well, here's some words. I'm the awards presenter for 165.
Wow.
Oh, no. Are you really?
I tried saying no, and Coach Smith's like, you can't say no.
Why not 174? Your weight class is 174.
I tried saying I do not want to be an awards presenter. And then the what we settled in the negotiation on is I'm wearing flip flops. So, you know, Coach Smith talked me into it. Once your coach, always your coach. He's a great guy. I said no to the Mizzou athletics person. I said, nah, I'm good. I don't want to do it. And Coach Smith's like, Ben, you got to do it. And I'm like,
oh, dang, you said no, and then they sent the big guns in.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
But you did get the flip-flops, so you drive a hard bargain.
Yeah, you made them. You made them pay. I don't even wear the flip-flops, barefoot.
Yeah, barefoot.
Oh, that would be legendary, Ollie. If it's warm enough, I'll consider.
Wear some cargo shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you look like a guy that would have a lot of cargo.
How much cargo you got?
Yeah.
I don't think I own cargo shorts. You know, I own the Brutus stopped making them, the gray cargo jeans. But now these high school kids are trying to tell me I'm wearing jorts. And I'm like, these are not jorts. They are, I don't know exactly what they are, but they're comfortable and I like wearing them. So leave me alone. How about that?
They're shorts, but they're jeans?
No, they're not jeans.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. But the high school kids are trying to tell me I'm wearing jean shorts, but I'm not wearing jean shorts.
Ollie, you're
just made some gray plain shorts like a whole bunch of years ago, and they won't make them again. So I only have my old pairs. That's all I have, and that's what I'm wearing. And they try to make fun of me, and I said, "Leave me alone, kids."
Ollie, any chance jorts come back?
I'm bringing them back heavy.
Okay, you're going for it.
Yeah, below the knee, mid calf, baggy.
Dang,
the whole like straight '90s vibe. We're going back.
Yeah. ICP t-shirt.
Yep.
Okay. Got a pair of rollerblades. Cruise around.
Shout out to my juggalos and juggalettes.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. All right. Okay. 65 going to be crazy. Ben's presenting.
That's an added nuts wrinkle that I didn't expect.
Whoa.
That's fun.
I mean, imagine he's... Never mind. I don't even want to say it.
Don't say it. I know what you were thinking.
Yeah. That's going to be... Man, we got the cameras rolling there.
Yes.
174. This is
Carter Strachey. What's his deal?
I don't know. We don't know.
Seek and destroy, basically.
Basically, seek and destroy. Search and destroy.
But we can't trust. Listen, Kale Sanderson actually seems like a very trustworthy man, but he did say Nick Lee was downstairs working out, so we're not really sure what to make of this.
I think you mean probably Nick Sirianni, if I had to guess.
Who did I say? What did I say?
Nick Lee.
Oh, yeah, I meant Nick Sirianni. Damn
it. That was a long time. That was 2017. I think everything's on the table. Him wrestling's on the table. Him wrestling a match and forfeiting's on the table. Not wrestling at all is on the table. I don't glean much from... But it does sound like it's not bad. Bad. Or that he's, you know, going to do well with it. It's the number one story of this weekend, for sure. Whatever he does is so notable.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's out, notable. Doesn't match. We'll have a ton to glean there. Wins it. Notable.
Actually, I think if he wins it, that's probably the least notable.
That is kind of true.
I think it's like, whoa. I mean,
Well, if it wasn't a major injury and he just goes and smashes, that's kind of the least notable because that's kind of.
What if it's a major injury and he still wins? That's highly notable.
Well, then it's like, will we be able to tell? Like, will we be able to tell it's a major injury? Because if we can't, if he's just too tough, or we could surmise that it's not actually a major injury and it actually is.
What if he just says ow a lot during his matches? He's like, ow! Ow!
Can you do that? Verbal submission. He's out.
No, you can say ow.
No, you can't. If you yell ow, it's done.
You can yell ow.
Submission.
You can yell ow.
If you yell ow, the referee will stop the contest as a verbal tap out.
If you can't say ow, Ollie wouldn't have half his wins. He said ow when he was attacking, under attack.
Everything hurt.
Everything hurt. You can
say
ow.
I was so fat. It hurt.
It's just when you scream out. He's like, ow. They're not going to stop
you. You can say ow. You can't yell or scream ow.
Yeah, there's a difference. And honestly, it just reveals how little you know about the sport, Ben.
Hey, so the chat here is they're talking about Kansas City, and let me tell you. Just going to tell you right now. It's not the proper time or place, but NCAA Kansas City is going to be awesome. They got the Sprint Center. It's right there. You're going to walk out. You got the power and light. You got a lot of food options, a lot of fun options. It's not going to be like Kansas City 2002 or 3, whenever they hosted it the last time. That was a dump. They shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I apologize for my adopted home state. This one is going to be lit. You're going to love it.
Hey, we just got word. The from the Dominican Republic. Ollie has to go pick up the rest of his package. He got his keys, wallet, car back, his glasses.
Yeah, so they they just sent my glasses. I've been doing this blind, so I can't see. So I'm going to go.
They don't have the mail? They can't mail it?
UPS, well, that's what I'm going to get right now. I'm going to get the package just came in. So I got to go get my glasses and the rest of my life back. So great show. Thank you, guys. I'll check y'all later.
Later. Okay.
Wait, this coward's really leaving in the middle of the show?
He's gone.
I don't know why I needed the coward thing. There's a reason for it, but whatever.
He's got a meeting.
I can't believe you, Ollie.
He's got a meeting. Okay, we have to pick it up. It's 9:30. We're at 174. We haven't talked about any other conferences. Well, we're
now that we got rid of Ollie, it's going to be great. We'll move so fast.
Thank goodness he's gone.
Still hear you.
All right, 184 pounds.
Wait, what's that? You can do 174.
We already did that. Curtis Jaraki.
Okay. All right. I got Griffith. If not Griffith, I got Griffith winning.
Ooh,
if,
so you're predicting.
If no Carter.
If there's no Carter, then it's probably going to be that Edmund Ruth, Rocco Welsh quarterfinal that's going to decide who's coming out the top side.
I got Rocco getting revenge on Edmund, making the final if Carter's not wrestling. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Now we can go to 84.
All right.
All right. 84. I'm going to go, since we got to go fast. I like the way Lenny Pinto's looked all year. I'm going Lenny Pinto.
He struggled with Salazar in his career. He obviously can do it. I got – give me Truex.
Yeah, that's and that's the semi
–
the seeded semi.
Well, which is it, Ben? Which is it?
You're an Iowa and a Penn State homer. You're just a bandwagoner. I don't
that's
know
what right. That's right.
Yeah, so okay.
Sorry, Mr. – okay, keep going.
Yeah.
Anything else? 84?
Man,
or just Rogatsky pins his way through. One of the two.
Rogatsky just sticks everyone like a beast. I like, man, I think Salazar, Truex, and Pinto, all three, I don't feel really that strongly about either of those guys. I think they're all really good. I think all of them are NCAA finals caliber wrestlers, along with Plott and obviously Parker. I think they're really good. But I'm going with Bernie.
What would it take for us to get a Ryder Rogatsky, Roman Rogatsky match in this tournament?
I don't know. Ben could probably figure that out very quickly.
It's a four and a 10.
Well, let's see. So Rogatsky will lose
central final
first round.
Yep.
He'll lose for Rogatsky will lose first round. So he'd be on the backside.
Roman.
And then if
two of them.
Roman Rogatsky.
Yeah.
If Ryder loses in the quarter, although this is unlikely, it's unlikely for him to lose in the quarter because he smashed Jaden Bullock. If he were to lose in the quarter, then they would be on the same side. So if would it be it needed to be the blood round, the round of 12, or the next round if they won and went to that spot?
Okay. It's possible.
All right.
Yeah.
Rogatsky watch key.
197. Aaron Brooks.
Aaron Brooks over Jackson Smith.
What chance do you give Glazier against Jackson?
Not terrible, but not great. I'll say something like say a 30% chance.
I feel a little. I maybe give him like 40%, but
okay, a little better.
I feel kind of similar. Jackson has more offense, but
pretty dynamic.
If it's sticky late, might get glazed.
Could be Glazier.
Yeah.
What percent chance do you give Glazier against AWA product Josh Otto in the first round?
Oh man, guys, Josh Otto, I love this guy. He's wrestling at 197. He's a 165 pounder. Guys, it's hard to win weight classes up three matches. We'll just leave it at that.
Kyle Dake did it.
That is true.
No, he actually grew that big.
Nope. He weighed in at 141 every year. He's like, watch this, guys.
That's funny.
All right.
Anything else? 197?
Heavyweight.
Oh, big boys.
Heavyweight, Greg Kirkvliet, next topic. And because the real fun at heavyweight is in the Big 12.
Oh, my gosh, is it ever. Yeah, I got Kirkvliet over.
Let's go to the Big 12 real quick.
Let's go there right now. All right.
Right now.
We went from Maryland to
I got
to
get the seeds.
Tulsa. There's some really fun weights. Let's start with heavyweight. You know, we always start at 125, work down.
Yes, let's do that.
Let's. Younger Bastida versus Wyatt Hendrickson. These two seem to be on an absolute collision course. This is probably one of the people's most anticipated matches of conference weekend.
You know, Christian, one thing I like that the Big 12 does, they do the brackets. So then I don't think about it in my brain. I could just see them.
Yeah.
Makes it so much easier.
That is faster and easier. But Younger has, so what's interesting here is Younger has faced an incredible schedule.
Yeah, he really has.
He's beaten like 4, 5, 6, 9, 10 or 10, 11 or something crazy like that. Mm-hmm. The highest win ranked win that Wyatt has this year is against Gadali of Campbell, number 9, and then number 10, Heinzelman. So he's not.
How many pins does he have?
He should have a lot based on his schedule. Like, I'm sure, I'm sure he's up there for dominant score. I think Wyatt, I favor Wyatt in this match because this man should not choose bottom. He should take top and see what he can do against Younger.
Oh my gosh, this is legendary. Wyatt Henderson, you know how many pins he has?
Probably 15.
16 out of 20.
My gosh.
That's crazy.
So this guy, all right, listen. We know he's dominant. Let's talk about this match.
Yes.
How do you see it playing out?
Well, this is a great one. So, I mean, Henderson always comes out aggressive, which we love. Huge fan. Love it. This is why he's the great American hero.
He is.
But on the other hand, Bastida is kind of hard to overwhelm. And he moves well, and he just doesn't let you kind of do that to him. So, I mean, I don't know. It's kind of what's that one saying? It's the immovable object versus the whatever force. Unstoppable force. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's what this is. That's why it's so compelling. It's going to be awesome. I predict Wyatt Henderson will come out and attack him hard, and he will be stymied, and he'll get scored on a couple of times. It is a bout for the ages. He gets Bastida tired late, and he wins, like, we'll say 8-7 or something like that.
Okay. I think he has to choose top. There's no scenario where choosing bottom or neutral.
Really?
Why would you not? One for 1 point?
Oh, okay. I'll tell you why, because these are heavyweights. These are heavy Chevys, and they're going to be very slippery and sweaty by the time they get around to that time in place.
Do you think this is the first sweaty heavyweight that Wyatt's wrestled this year?
Well, no, but he pins him quick, so they didn't even get a chance to get sweaty. He don't let him break a sweat because he just puts him right on the back. Let me read you this. I will read you this. Okay.
Yes.
Fall 111, 43 seconds, 250, 155, 125, 42, 141, 104, 38, 40, 201, 138, 126, 258, 321. They don't get sweaty, Christian. He don't let them. He just puts them in the back.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it is crazy. Like, looking at WrestleStat, I mean, I know people all probably internalize all those times that you just read off, but he's got 16 pins this year. 15 of them are in the first period.
So all his pin, it's pre-perspiration pins is what you're saying.
They don't get very sweaty by that
point. I would – no, this is simple. First of all, you're massively underrating a heavyweight's ability to sweat pre-match. I'm rolling up. If you're smart. Stop it. If you're smart, you're rolling up lathered.
Yeah, that's
this true. This is just wrestling. See, this is Ben will give you the breakdown of the technical. I give you the match within the match within the match. You roll up against the Wyatt Hendry. Yeah. Oh yeah. You gotta have a little lotion. You can't have a dry skin. You know, especially in these cold winter months. So
I feel like you're saying Wyatt Henderson can only win on top, and I think Wyatt Henderson can win with gas tank. I think he can get takedowns late. And, you know, Bastida, if he chooses down, that it is a 2-point swing. Cause if he's not able to turn Bastida, then he chooses top, you know, then he chooses top. Bastida gets away. That's 1 point for Bastida versus 1 point for Henderson. That's a 2-point swing. Now listen, I'm not totally opposed. I don't think your statement's idiotic. Depending on how the match is going and he gets the first choice after 3 minutes, I think maybe he does choose top. But if he doesn't get choice till 5 minutes in and he's feeling Bastida get a little tired, I don't know that's the best choice.
I don't know. If I'm tired, I don't think I want to have Wyatt Henderson trying to hold me down and pin me.
No, it's a great place. If you're just not a dummy, you can stall. You can, you know, kind of stretch out and, you know, do this gimmick here. It's you can stall down there.
All right. I think I obviously don't think that's the only way Wyatt can win, but I think it's a clear advantage.
Okay. Clear advantage.
Positionally. Yeah. So
I feel like the gas tank is really interesting to me. We haven't seen Bastida gas since he stopped cutting weight, but It has happened in the past, but we also haven't seen him wrestle anybody with a tank like Wyatt Hendrickson's.
Yeah, he has literal jet fuel.
That is true.
Yeah, there's nobody that comes at you a heavyweight like Wyatt Hendrickson does.
Yeah, I think Younger could get some early takedowns on him just using the aggression against him. It's going to be a great match. I can't wait for it. And I'm really
You know, I'm a Wyatt Henderson guy. So Wyatt Henderson, if you're watching this, Wyatt Henderson quoted me, and the USA Wrestling tagged me. Watch out for Bastida's Hamlin position, head inside single. He's going to spin on you. You got to be ready for it.
Ready for the spin cycle.
Yes.
I've got Wyatt winning this match.
Let's go. I got Wyatt too.
Okay. Right. Younger Bastida said he was going to Grim Reaper this whole weight class.
So yeah.
We'll see.
Grim Reaper. Oh, I did. That was great. I did like that.
That was great. Post. He has literally just kind of beaten everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If he wins, Nomad's been tweeting. Everyone's getting mad at Nomad because he knows the seeding process really well and can, like, it's simple if you know how to do it. He does it. And he's like, listen, if Younger wins this, he's going to get the one over Kirkfleet. Of course, everyone yells at him about it. It's like not his thing, but that's a reality. If Younger wins this, he is going to have a better overall resume and probably won't be able to get voted differently. So, notable. Don't know what'll happen there, but it's interesting.
Where you guys want to go from here?
I just go back to 20.
Well, let's go reverse order because 97 is pretty good. Also, 97, you got Tanner Sloan 1, Buchanan 2, Rocky Elam 3, Bachman Volker 4, 5. And actually, 6-7 is pretty good, too, because 6 is Novak, who's had a few good wins. 7 is Serber, who's been tough but out. But Buchanan did not look great against Sloan. It looked like he had a knee injury or something. So I kind of wonder how bad that is and how much it'll hamper him in this tournament.
I got Sloan winning this. He's my pick still. I don't know. You think he's injured?
I would love to pick Rocky Elam, but at this point, I think I'm picking Tanner Sloan also.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. 184. Parker Kett. This weight class is a really good weight class. Kett Geisen 1, Palat 2, Bennett Berge 3, Hawks 4, Feldkamp 5, Sam Wolf 6. I think all those guys are top 12 ranked, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there?
Yeah. Parker, I want to see him against Palat again. I think that's another competitive match. Parker's the class of this weight, though, until proven otherwise. So I got Parker winning 84.
Agreed.
When did Missouri decide to go with Hawks?
Recent.
Oh, unfortunately, just recently.
Gotcha.
It was
next topic.
When Ben refused to do the awards ceremony, they're like, all right, fine, Hawks is in. That got him back to the table. Wait, okay, I'll do it. And Ron said, nope, too late.
I'll
give you the flip flops, though.
I'll give you the flip flops. That was the concession.
Wow.
But it's still Hawks. 74.
All right, 174. DeVos 1, MJ Gaetan 2, Braden Thompson 3, Mako 4, Sima 5, Piccolo 6. So Piccolo actually just beat Braden Thompson. So that's an interesting one. Mako lost to Cade DeVos, but you know, I'm ride or die, Peyton Mako for the win. Let's go.
Yeah, it feels like I know he's lost matches and he's the rightful four, but that's a pretty tough semi for DeVos to have. Yeah. I mean, Mako's a turning All-American.
He's beaten him before. There was actually a scramble they were in the first period that the referee stopped due to potential dangerous that I really thought Peyton was going to win very shortly after the ref stopped it. And so I believe it was a one takedown match. The disheartening thing about that match was I think DeVos rode him for a while. So Peyton's got to figure that one out.
DeVos is one of the more slept on guys in the country. I think he's super good. Potential NCAA finalist this year. Wouldn't surprise me. I've got him winning this. I am very aware of I think if he doesn't win, he'll get third because I think his biggest threat is Mako by far.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. 65, ooh, the weight of weights here. Keegan O'Toole 1, David Carr 2, Peyton Hall 3, Olenichnik 4, Petruzzulli 5.
All right.
We got Carlson 6, Cook. Tanner Cook is 7. Tanner Cook's had, you know, he's one of our other favorites, but he's had a rough year.
Okay. I've got.
But he's going to high flyer Carr in the quarters.
Yep. I've got Keegan over Carr here. Well, Ben's got Tanner Cook in the finals.
You just try to ignore me.
Yeah. Well, I just know we have 15 minutes. We haven't talked about any other conferences.
Okay. I'm obviously picking Keegan O'Toole. You know, Peyton Hall's gave him trouble, so Legendick's probably an easier quarter because he's beat or semi. He's beaten Legendick a whole bunch, and he's never really been in trouble at all. I mean, Legendick, he's tough to take down. I thought Keegan had another one against him this year, so hopefully he can push in the major. And then, yeah, him versus David Carr.
Yeah. Gonna be. I said this for the duel. Now I'm just moving my take up to this matchup. I think it's going to be a very cautious, low-scoring, low-attempt affair. That's my guess. I think no one's going to want to show anything.
Keegan versus
Carr.
David Carr?
That's my prediction.
I don't think that's the case.
Oh, we'll see.
But, all right.
I don't know. I don't know. It's just my
guess. It could be low scoring. I don't think it'll be low action.
Okay. I hope it's exciting.
Okay. Zerbin, 57, Zerbin 1, Ryder Downey 2, Teague Travis 3, Chittum 4, Mahler 5, Swenson 6.
If you would have heard at the beginning of the year, Brock Mahler 5 seed.
I know.
What would you have thought? No way.
I would have thought, what is going on?
Well, Ryder Downey's been way better than what people thought, as has Vinny Zerbin, as has Teague Travis. Those are 1, 2, and 3. I think people were already excited about Cody Chittum, but I don't think a lot of people were predicting those other three to have the seasons that they've had.
Brock hasn't wrestled anyone in the conference other than Travis. Like, all the good guys, he didn't wrestle this. He didn't wrestle Chittum. He didn't wrestle Downey. He didn't wrestle... Who's the one?
Zerbin.
Zerbin. Didn't wrestle him.
Zerbin.
So he's not really...
I feel like Northern Colorado, did they not wrestle any of the better teams in the Big 12? Am I crazy?
They wrestled... I think they wrestled... Well, I don't know. They normally wrestle...
I'll go look it up.
It's weird because Big 12 is like... It's a conference, but there's no rules about who you wrestle. Like, they don't have to...
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, they don't have to wrestle anyone. They don't want to.
Yeah.
There's no Big 12 rules. So that can make schedules... That's why you have a situation like that.
Vinny Zerbin. They did wrestle Oklahoma. He beat Jared Hill 4-3. Oh, no. I'm sorry. That was at the Southern Scuffle, so they did not duel them.
Yeah. I think out of that top, Brock, Chittum, or Zerbin, I feel like equal chance all three of those guys to make the final.
Yes.
Zerbin's been proven, but he hasn't had to have a really tough match super recently. I'll say Chittum makes a final.
Man, his schedule is kind of wild. After Southern Scuffle, so he won the scuffle. But then his only duels past January 1st are Cal Poly, Cal Baptist, Utah Valley, and Air Force.
Yep.
So hasn't had a tough match in quite a while.
I got Chittum over Downey. Big 12s.
Interesting. I got to go with Mahler. Just I'm contractually obligated to do so.
Otherwise, you can't present.
I think Mahler and Chittum's super interesting. Mahler does his best scores are defensive. So, you know, I think Chittum can be aggressive and he can score there. Honestly, Zerbin, I haven't watched him enough to give great feedback on his stuff. I remember watching him when he's younger, but I haven't watched him barely at all this year.
Good athlete, get the legs. He can counter score. He can ride. He's very complete wrestler. He for sure can win this weight.
All right, 149. Number 1, Casey Swiderski. Number 2, Willie McDougall. 3, Ty Waters. 4, Jordan Williams. 5, Alec Martin.
I've got Ty Waters making the finals, getting revenge against McDougall. Against Swiderski. Oh, it was close.
They wrestled, and I want to say, didn't Swiderski kick his butt?
No, he did not kick his butt. It was super close. Ty was winning late and lost. I think I'll give Swiderski over Waters. I won't go full bracky here, but I do think
it was over. It was overtime, in fact. So I was totally wrong.
I think Waters could absolutely win this weight. I'll say that.
Yeah,
he's really, really good.
Okay, I'll go Swiderski over Waters.
Oh, you're with me.
All right.
Okay, 41. It's another deep weight.
McDougall right here.
He beat Waters.
Oh, yeah, Swiderski beat McDougall. Got it. All right, my bad. 141. We have Etchemendy 1, Jameson 2, Happel 3, Titus 4, Carlson 5, Edmund 6. And that's funny because they kind of screwed Kai Happel because Edmund just beat Happel and then they put him against him first round. Or Edmund has the bye, so first round for Edmund.
Yeah, that's tough. I have no idea, honestly. I think this is all, I think it's really wide open. I like Etchemendia. I think he's looked good recently. I'm going to go with him to win this weight over... Who's the two again?
Tegan Jameson.
And the three is...
Happel.
Oh, I'll go...
Ooh.
I'll go Etchemendia over Jameson.
This is a wild one, too, man.
It could go... Wait. This is... Seriously. Yeah.
Happel has to get past Edmund in the quarter, who just beat him.
Yep.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Edmund's actually been coming along because Edmund beat Happel. He had the really close one. I want to even say it might have been double overtime against Titus, where, you know, Titus does the thing where he does the roll unders, where it's like
that was
you
having
a double leg, and then he just keeps rolling under. I mean, that thing happened like six times in that match. It was just so ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I'll go Etchemendia to win. I'll go Edmund to make the final. Let's do it.
He says,
well, remember, if you remember, Edmund had a close match with Dayton Fix because they did not wrestle Jameis, and they bumped up Dayton Fix to wrestle Josh Edmund.
I got Fix over Edmund in the 133 Big 12 Finals then.
There you go.
That will be interesting. all right, 133, Fix 1, Edmund Frost 2, Serrano 3, and then Derek Cardinal, Julian Farber.
Yep, Fix over Frost for me.
Fix over Frost. Agreed.
Not super competitive. 25's crazy. You look at Jory Volk.
25's crazy.
He's the 5. He beat 4. He's beaten 1. And he's beaten...
No. Certain beat him this year.
But he's beaten Certain.
I think 2 years ago. You might be right.
Yeah. So my point being, his path is like filled with guys he's beaten, and he's the 5. I'm not saying he's my prediction, but he's a guy to watch out for sure.
All right, so let's go. It's Certain 1, Spratley 2, Poulin 3, Jordan 4, Volk 5, and Terraquinha 6. So, yes, I would much rather have Tanner Jordan just beat Jory Volk first round. So I think that is a little bit easier matchup for Noah Certain.
Yeah.
So I would prefer that.
I'll go Volk makes the final, and I'll say Spratley beats him for the title. Spratley over Volk.
Spratley over Volk. I will go. I'll go Certain over Poulin.
Nice.
There you go. Poulin won this last year.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Little ACC talk. 41's crazy. Only 3 allocations, but they have Cole Matthews, Ryan Jack, Lachlan McNeil, and there's one other.
Tom Crook.
Yes, thank you.
How did they only get 3 allocations
there? I don't know.
There?
I have no idea.
That doesn't feel right.
Somebody's got to be missing matches, or but they've all been wrestling, right?
It seems like, I mean...
It feels like they've all wrestled a whole bunch.
Crook's red shirt was pulled sort of late, but he was, he wrestled at the Midlands. Like, he's been around. I feel like they all have the match minimum, so I'm not sure. Let's see, how many...
Yeah, Crook's got 21 matches. Yeah. There's no way he doesn't meet the minimum.
Is he all at 41?
All at 41. Ooh, that's it right there. He's
49.
Got 2 tournaments at 149. That's why it says 5
10 matches.
So 10 matches. There you go. Boom, 21. So he's only at 11 matches.
Still think he'll get through. So what's the bracket path there? Remind me.
All right. So
we have – okay, go for it.
Yep. So you got semifinal on the bottom side is really interesting with Jack and Crook. And then top side, McNeil, Matthews, if the seeds hold. Those are the semis.
So – I think Matthews beat McNeil this year, and Jack beat Crook. So I'll take Jack versus Matthews in the finals. I think Matthews beat all these guys, actually.
Yeah, that's why he's the number one.
It's crazy. I'll take Cole. Go Cole. Cole over Jack, even though I think probably Jack's maybe a little bit better. This could go a lot of different ways, but I feel pretty reasonably strong about it.
Okay, so hey, how about Pitt? I thought they had said Dayton Pitzer was done, but Dayton Pitzer is the entered heavyweight.
No, they said he was out till ACCs. That was always
the plan. Okay. I thought they said he was done.
No. He back. So that's interesting. Also interesting, 57, Bryce Andonian, his first action since losing, or the injury default loss to Meyer Shapiro. Close eye on him and hit, how does he wrestle? Does he do the gimmick? I don't know. He forfeits out, but definitely someone to keep an eye on.
Other thing about Andonian is he's there's only two allocations, and he and Ed Scott are on the same side of the bracket because Ed Scott lost to Sonny Santiago. So top half of that bracket, Santiago, Kessler is the seeded semi. Bottom half, Ed Scott, Bryce Andonian.
That's, yeah, that's nuts. Good job, Sonny, by getting that win against Ed, because that's
84 is the other interesting one, and they're not really fighting for allocations because they all get an allocation, but it's probably one of the better weight classes here. TJ Stewart 1, Heller 2, Fishback 3, Kane 4. Yeah, so that's fun.
And Kane has he's the 4, but he has the win over Stewart, who's the 1, and that would be Stewart, a potential semi.
100%. Sorry.
It's a good one.
That'll be exciting match. I'm looking forward to 84. All right, help us out.
All right,
33 is interesting. With Latona, because he lost to Yarbrough, and he lost to Orini, but he's beaten both of them in his past. I have a hard time. I think Orini's probably your champ here, but it's tough to dismiss Sam, even with all the weirdness of his season. I still can't help but think he could win this tournament.
I think, I don't disagree with you that he could win, but I think Arini's the pick.
He's super tough. Bray, why don't you, we only have 5 minutes left, and I have a hard out at 10 because I have a plane to catch. At noon.
Where are you going again? Tell me where you're going.
Big Tens, Maryland.
Okay.
It's going to be awesome. I'm bringing Caleb, and my dad's meeting us there. It's going to be awesome.
All right.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
There's a ton more to talk about, but we can't end the show without talking about EIWA 133.
Oh, my gosh.
Crookham, Vito, along with a bunch of other good guys, but Crookham, Vito, what do you got?
I don't know.
I'm sticking with my prediction. I got Vito.
Yeah, I'll take Vito. I think he's, you kind of assume best version, when you do these, and even though he's missed some time, he's going to want to get this one back. But what's going to get interesting is the seeding here. If he wins it, where does that put him in the bracket? Because I don't think it's just going to be as clear as him getting the 2 or the 3, according to the Nomad calculations, which are, very accurate.
Official calculations.
Because he doesn't have, Vito has a really limited schedule. His best win right now is Nasir Bailey. He doesn't have a ton of quality wins because he's missed so much time. So he could be a guy that's like a really interesting 4 or 5 seed. It would be weird, but it could happen. So I've got Vito. I think he wins and creates a lot of seeding chaos.
So much seeding chaos.
Yes.
No, we probably don't have any time for questions. The I was thinking Pac-12s, 125, Figs, Provo, Kaler. Who you got?
I got Figs. I think he's back. And yeah, I feel. I mean, I don't know how confident you can be, but some reason internally in my soul, I feel pretty confident he's going to win, which is probably foolish.
All right, are there any other? We have 2 minutes. Are there any other brackets you would like to talk about?
What else is happening? Who do you think is going to win Big 12? Can't even ask Ben. But
Team Mizzou, let's go.
I don't think they are.
It does not look that way at this point.
No.
I would say at this point, if you're a general non-biased fan, Iowa State's looking pretty good.
I kind of think so. I think they have a few guys that seeding-wise could bump. Because by seeding projections, they're perfect tie with Oklahoma State, which is wild. But it's someone like Chittum could be a big point scorer for them. But then again, someone like Serber for Oklahoma State, those are the guys you got to look at.
7, yeah.
57 is going to be huge in that team race.
Yes.
Mahler's the 5 seed. Chittum's the 4. Like, if one of those guys.
And Travis is the 3.
Yes. Travis is the 3. If any of those 3 guys, like, punch through, that could be the difference.
And I'd also say any of those guys could also get, like, 6, and it's not a major earth-shattering departure, no. But that's a lot of points missed.
I mean, obviously at 25,
yeah,
as well, because you have Terracini has had huge, he's had huge wins. He's at the 6, Sertan's at the 1, and Spratley's the 2. You know, that's another place where they could go up.
Yeah, no question. So yeah, that's it's a really fun team race. I think Big 12 is going to be as exciting as we've seen it in a couple of years.
Yeah. Listen, I know you think I'm a homer, but Mizzou has Cade Moore at the 6. I think he could get an upset over Serrano. He could go a little higher. Edmund at the 6 at 41 has already beaten Happel. He could absolutely go higher. And then Joffrey at the 8, you know, he's missed a bunch of time, but, you know, he had an overtime match with the number 3 Waters. You know, I don't think he beat Swiderski, but I think he could finish significantly higher than number 8.
Ben, I don't disagree with that at all. I think there is opportunities right. for, but then you need your ones. It's like Sertan's the one, he's got to win, and he could lose in that semi, no doubt. And Keegan's going to face a guy that probably beat him, that has beaten him twice in his past. Mm-hmm. But like Rocky Elam's another one. If Rocky Elam of past shows up, then they're, he could win that weight. I think he won it last year.
He's at the 3. I would have a hard time seeing him finish below that. Is he going to lose to Evan Bachman? Man, I don't really see that. I don't think he loses Joey Novak, so he's in the semis. You know, like, I think he's a 3. And then, you know, Zach Elam, we didn't really talk about him. He's actually had a great year, but he did kind of get spanked by Younger. So it's like, can you see him switching that? And you're like, man, probably not. But do you see him losing Josh Heinzelman? And no. I think the answer is probably not to that also.
Yeah. It's going to be a great weekend of wrestling.
Yeah, should be a
lot EIWA of fun. Start tomorrow. They're Friday, Saturday. Big 10s and Big 12s are Saturday, Sunday. ACCs are on Sunday. Pac-12s are on Saturday, I think. Could be wrong about that.
Hey, it's 10:01. You missed your heart out.
I got to go. Thank you, guys. We'll see you. Have a great weekend. Enjoy conferences. See you next time. Thank you, Ben.
See ya.
Yeah, he's right.